comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show. Wherever you happen to be all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. We're here because you have a right to know. We're here because you matter. Now, I'm continuing to get email from people about the recent seminar that I conducted actually on Saturday. It was called Angels, Nephilim, and Anunnaki. Very, very positive email has been coming in. Some of that email, well, the very positive email has been coming in from people who attended the seminar. And then other email has been coming in, not negative, but saying, I missed the seminar, or, you know, I didn't join the members community in time. And so I didn't get in on it. Will it be available? When the answer to that is, it is available right now. And it's available online. What you do is just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down, kind of way down, and you'll see the picture about a picture about the seminar. Just click on that. And it will take you to the page with all the information on it that you need so that you can watch and experience Angels, Nephilim, and Anunnaki. Speaking of the members community, I'd like to invite you to become a member at the Kevin Smith Show. We are member supported. And what that means is during the breaks, I don't play any commercials trying to sell you something. And we're here for the information. That's it. The only way we can survive is to be listener supported, and we do that by providing something to say thank you. In the members community, it's only $7.50 a month. That's 25 cents a day. That's nearly nothing. But you get the archives, you get your own friends page, you know, you can send friend requests and accept or reject friend requests, your own photo gallery, your own video gallery, your own blog, you get to watch the shows live, or you can listen, either way, it's always free to listen, but if you're a member, then you can also watch, and you get chat and forums and the library of free ebooks to download. Lots of stuff in there, lots and lots of stuff. And it's only $7.50 a month. That helps us to continue broadcasting, and you get a whopping big lot of stuff for the $7.50 a month. We have also a free weekly newsletter. If you're new to the show, you need to subscribe to our newsletter. It's absolutely free, no strings attached. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It is called K-Files. So if you're looking at our website, right in the middle of your screen, it says K-Files. Well, click that. And then you can subscribe. You'll get an email automatically with a link in it for you to activate your subscription. All right, we're going to take a break, and we shall return right after this. All right. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have some business to tend to here tonight before we go to open line, and it is important business. It's something that I found out about this afternoon, and I can tell you I've been through several versions of my response to this before deciding that I'm deciding on exactly what I'm going to say here. Last night, we had, as guest on this show, Robert McDonald. And Robert McDonald told us about being on board a ship in the Baltic Sea in a port. Because of weather, they were in a port, and that this ship was involved in a recovery operation. Now, the recovery operation was to attempt to recover, or at least to further explore, an anomaly that is on the floor of the Baltic Sea. We'll talk about who discovered that in just a moment. We have pictures of it that were released to the public. These pictures of the anomaly are sonar pictures, sonar scans. So we can see the shapes and a little bit of detail, not much detail, but certainly we can see the shapes. And a very curious anomaly, and it had the Internet a buzz and still does. There are people who say it's a UFO that is down there. There are people who say that it is not, that it is just some ancient archaeological type site, but submerged. And there are people who say that, in fact, what you're looking at is just geological and completely natural. So anyway, we had Robert McDonald on the show, and it was an amazing story that we heard from Robert McDonald. And, you know, what can I say? It was an amazing story. Well, this afternoon, I got an email from Peter Lindbergh. Do you know who Peter Lindbergh is? Peter Lindbergh is the team leader, is my understanding that that's what he is, a team leader, of a group called the Ocean Explorer. And that's the team that made the discovery of this strange anomaly on the floor of the Baltic Sea. Now, I have to back up in order to be precise. This afternoon, I got an email that alleged to be from Peter Lindbergh. Now, I had at that time, I had no way to cross-reference it, to verify, to know for sure if it was from Peter Lindbergh. But, I debated about whether to read you this email. I'm not going to read all of it. I will refer to it. I will say he introduces himself as Peter Lindbergh, tells me he's the originator of this project, which led to the finding of the disk anomaly. And then he says, "What are you doing? The McDonald thing is just made up." And then he goes on and says some other stuff. And then he says, "Just so you know, you will be the last to get an interview when we can go out there for real, since you have just made the whole thing up." That's part of it. Well, you know, I responded to that, and I responded nicely and explained how real talk shows work. I host a talk show. I don't make up stories. I interview people who who have a story to tell. And then I ask questions as they tell their story. This is the way real talk shows work. And if you think that I made it up, Peter, you have me confused with mass media. That's the people that make stuff up. We don't make up stuff. I interview a guest, and the guest tells me a story, whatever his story is. Now, I know you said that I would be the last to get an interview with you, and I'll address that in just a moment. But if I were interviewing you, and you just suddenly told me some story, some part of a story that I didn't know anything about it, you know, because you're the guy doing all that exploring out there, so you tell me something. There is absolutely no way for me to vet that. It's live on the air just like that. And it's up to you to be truthful. Now, I will ask you questions about it. And certainly that's what I did. But I interview people who have a story to tell, and then I ask questions. And then I open the telephone lines and allow our audience to call in with their questions. And if someone wants to challenge that guest and say it's not true, the lines are open and they can do that. Now, I want to make something very clear. I've already responded to Peter. I sent this to him in the email. But I want the audience, everyone listening, I want you to understand something. I didn't chase this story. And first, before I go any further, I am not ditching or dumping on Robert McDonald. I don't know whether his story was 100% accurate or not. And, you know, I have no way of knowing if Peter's statements are 100% accurate or not in everything that he says. In case you haven't noticed, I'm not God. But I didn't chase this story because my impression of the photographs that you released to the public, Peter, my impression of those photographs was as follows, and I've stated this both on the air and in print, that it looked to me like rocks. An unusual formation of rocks. I have had other guests on this show that have challenged my statement that it looks like rocks and have told me it looks like some ancient, maybe an ancient fortress. I've had guests that have told me that they think it's a UFO. You know, you haven't been down there to look at it, and nobody else has. All we have are the side-scan sonar images, and so everyone is speculating at this point. And speculation is not being fraudulent. Whatever you think it is, Peter, it's speculation. So I didn't chase this story. I didn't try. I had people who sent me email trying to get me to do a show about this, and I didn't because, in my opinion, it looks like rocks. I even said that on the show last night. But it's also important to note that I didn't chase Mr. McDonald. He contacted me and told me that he had some information about that object, that anomaly, and wanted to be on the show. And I talked with him briefly about what his information was. He provided me with some information that I could check to verify who he is, and I did. To the best of my ability, sitting over here in the United States and he in the Netherlands, I verified that he is who he says he is. There's no way, if I'm not there holding his hand or have a leash on him, there's no way I can sit in the United States and know everywhere he goes, everyone he sees, what he says, and whether it's all true. Now, that's true of you too, Peter. This is the nature of the world, and this is the nature of how talk shows work. I did verify that he is who he represented himself to be. Now, you didn't contact me and try to get on the show. Had you done so, I might have scheduled you to be on the show. Mr. McDonald did contact me about being on the show. You were not on the show with your story, your view of things, because you didn't contact me. Mr. McDonald was on the show with his story and his view of things because he did contact me. But you didn't contact me until after the fact. And when you did, you sent me a very rude, insulting email. At first, I could not verify that that was you. But one of your fellow countrymen sent me a notice with a link to your Facebook page. And since you have published this on Facebook, and it's public to everyone, I shall read it. This is on your Facebook page, Peter Lindbergh. To you all, the made-up story by Kevin Smith that they had some kind of broadcasting show and had sent down submersibles that was destroyed by an alien craft is a made-up story. Please spread the word before it is turned into some kind of truth. Well, in your email, you accused me of making that story up. On your Facebook page, in your email, you can say anything you want to me. On your Facebook page, you went public with an accusation that I made that up. Now, that wasn't my story. I host a show, I interview guests, and I ask questions. But you made the accusation in public that I made that story up. And that is slander. Now, I read the postings, the replies to your posting. And in the course of those replies, you were asking questions as well. It's quite obvious you didn't listen to the show. You don't know what was said. You don't know anything about this show. You don't know anything about me. And you have accused me to the world of making something up like that and perpetrating a fraud. Although you don't use the word fraud, that's what you're accusing me of. You say that I made it up. Well, I didn't make it up, Mr. Lindbergh. But you did. You didn't know anything about the show. You didn't listen to the show. You had no actual knowledge. I don't know. You must have heard a rumor somewhere and decided to shoot from the lip. I made nothing up. You did. You are doing exactly what you're accusing me of doing. You're making it up. In other words, Mr. Lindbergh, you're lying. And you're lying to the public about me. Now, you said in your email that I would be the last person to get an interview with you. You presume I would want you on my show. But what is it that gave you that idea? Nevertheless, even though you have been rude and insulting in your email, even though you have slandered me on the internet, I'm a nice guy, and maybe you are too. Maybe you just shot from the lip. Maybe you just shot your mouth off before you thought. Maybe you're a nice guy. And just as I wrote in my reply to your email, it's up to you, but you have a standing invitation to be my guest on this show. If you want to be here and you want to tell your side of this fantastic story, you want to tell us what is, from your perspective, the truth, you have the opportunity to do it. Oh, by the way, the Kevin Smith Show is not, and using your words, some kind of broadcasting show that I just made up. It's the number one UFO talk show on this planet. We've been broadcasting for over 11 years, and there are millions of people listening to me right now. So you may actually benefit from the publicity, and I hope you do. Congratulations, you've made it to the big leagues. And the invitation is open. However, when you get here, we don't practice what you just preached. Here, we're a little bit more fact-oriented and civilized. I hope you'll take up my invitation, and I will be glad to interview you. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to go open line, and if you call in and ask me what I think, the story last night, is it true or is it made up? You know, I have no reason to think that Robert McDonald made it up. But I also have no reason to be able to tell you that I know it's true. I don't know. I interview and I ask questions and I hear the story when you hear the story. That's the way it works. I have no reason at all to think that Robert McDonald was not truthful with us. Not at this point. At the same time, I have no reason to stand up and say I know that that's an absolutely true story. We were getting a story that it alleges to be right on the leading edge, on the front end of things happening. Now, if that's the case, wonderful. If it turns out that's not the case, as far as I'm concerned, wonderful. Either way, you know, it doesn't matter which way the data leads. We follow the data. I'll be back and not making up stories right after this.
From Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. When a topic in history or science or the paranormal is too outré or controversial for conventional media, where can we go for information? To the Kevin Smith Show, of course. I'm a big fan.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and as I said, we are going open line tonight. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are inside the USA or you're inside of Canada, please use the telephone and give us a call at that number. If you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, we understand international long distance can be expensive. So we have an additional option for you. The number will work. You can call us. However, we do have an additional option for you, and that is go to my website, scroll down, and you'll see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture is a link that says Flash Message. You can send me your questions or comments in a flash message. Okay? All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington State.
Hello, Ryan.
Yeah, Kevin, I was looking at the images of this thing, the sonars and stuff.
Yeah.
I was wondering if we can kind of go over that a little bit.
You know, yeah, well, and let me say, the images that we have are images that were produced by the team that Peter Lindbergh was leading. It was his team, and they've released these images to the public. So that's where we got them. Actually, we got them off of the Internet, not from them. They released them onto the Internet.
Right, they're on the Internet.
Yeah.
I can't figure out, you know how it has those horizontal, you know how it sort of has stripes or lines that come down from top to bottom? I can't quite figure out if this thing is one solid object or if these are separate objects that are is broken up into pieces. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, and I've looked at. I don't know if you can see. Are you able to watch the show right at this moment?
Well, I'm looking at the image right now, but I'm not watching the show right now.
All right. When I look at these images, I can come up with a lot of different possibilities of what it might be. Now, on one side of this disc, Robert McDonald said it kind of looks like, he said, I'm not saying that's what it is, not saying it's a UFO, but it sort of has the shape of the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Okay, so on one side of that disc, you have like notches cut into it. It's not a complete circle. On the other side, where it is a circle, I'm looking at three large circular objects that one of them looks like it's sitting right on top of it, right at the front edge, and then two to the right immediately. I mean, they're just bumped up against one another, but they're round objects. You know, so my mind can come up with a lot of different possibilities here. I don't know what it is.
It makes me wonder. I mean, if this was rocks, you know, I'm leaning towards, I mean, I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't seem like there's any other rocks around in the area there. It just seems like it's pretty flat sand. And there are so many, it seems to be sort of, I can't tell if that is sand that is dripped over the top of it that is making it look like it's all separate pieces all connected in the shape of a circle, but how would you get such a perfectly round circle? And then the other question I have is you know, if you look towards the right there and it cuts off at the edge of the scan and it's all white.
Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is that, you know, I just wonder what kind of environment this is in. Is this up against something? Or why is the sonar scan cut off right there? Maybe it's just the way it turned out.
Well, I don't know. We could ask Peter Lindbergh, but he says we're not going to get an interview, so I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
Well, you know, it's just very strange. I don't know. You know, I mean, if it's some sort of magnetic anomaly, then maybe that would be the reason why some airplanes turn up missing with, you know, like, this isn't in the Bermuda Triangle. But
no, but we can barely hear you.
Okay, but the, it just makes me wonder if this is one solid object, and if somebody knows more about sonar scans, they can call in and let us know. I'd like to hear what the audience thinks about this object. I'll just free up the line. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, thanks for the call. Yeah, I don't know. You know, to me, I mean, if you ask me what's my impression of it, and you have on the air before, and you've heard me say, to me it looks like rocks. But, you know, at the same time, when someone makes a case that they think this is a UFO, I can look at it and imagine a very ancient, kind of ruined, crashed, possibly, UFO. But, you know, what does it look like to me? Well, it looks like rocks. And I've said that before. I don't know what Peter thinks as to what this is. I don't know what he thinks about it. But I do know what I think. What I think is it looks like rocks. Now, how, you know, Ryan brings up a real good point, and that is, well, how could you get such a perfectly round circle? Well, the most ancient structures that we know anything about on this planet, the most ancient structures generally are round. You know, I did a show not too long ago about how the archaeologists have found the, you know, up until recently, everybody said this story about the Queen of Sheba was mythological, and, you know, there was no proof of it. Well, archaeologists have found her capital, and it's round. It has a wall around it, and it's round. It's a circle. And the most ancient archaeological structures that have been found out there tend to be circles. And sometimes they're a series of circles. So, you know, it's just possible. This is at about 300 feet. Now, I forget which guest it is, but one guest pointed out to me that that's, you know, that's the level, that's the amount that the sea rose at the end of the last ice age. So this could be an ancient city. I'm not saying that it is. I have no evidence for it. But one guest pointed that out to me. This could be an ancient city that became submerged as the sea levels rose by 300 feet. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. If you are outside of the USA, if you are outside of Canada, please feel free to use our flash message feature. You don't have to make the international long distance call. Just go to my website, scroll down, and you will see the link. You'll see the picture about today's show, and then you'll see a link, and that link will take you to the flash messages. Okay? All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's open line. If you prefer indie music, we can do that. But it's bring your own topic. We'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. And we can talk about this anomaly that's on the floor of the Baltic Sea. We can talk about, I forgot I brought this, but I did bring this. So let me see if I can find my notes on it. I don't even know where my notes are. I'll have to do this from memory, but I can do this. I can handle this. Here we go. All right. I'm going to show you the picture of a retired Christian minister. His name is Reverend Biles, and he's pointing with his cane to where it happened. You can see he's in front of a church. Now, I wish I could remember where he was the vicar. I cannot remember where he was the vicar, but it is in England. And this is the church where he was the vicar in 1947. What happened may not sound like anything fantastic to you, but it does in these days cause us to think of some possibilities. What happened in 1947? Now, he didn't report this till 1974. He wrote an article that was published in England, and he told the story. But back in 1947, Reverend Biles was out walking around the churchyard one Saturday afternoon. As he walked back toward the church up this path, which he walked up and down, and the congregation walked up and down this path all the time, right where he's pointing with his cane, there was a hole that suddenly had developed and went all the way across this path. It was a big hole, and it wasn't there when he came out of the church to take his walk, and now there it is. There's a hole there. And he was a little bit amazed, so he walked around the hole, went into the church, and told his wife, who was in the church, told her about it, and asked her to come out and take a look at it. So they went out to take a look, and he reports that just in that few minutes, 2 or 3 minutes of going in and getting his wife to come out and take a look, this hole had gotten much bigger and much deeper. He tossed a stone, he tossed a rock into this hole because it was very deep. And he heard what sounded like that rock striking stonework. Like if you threw it against the side of the church, the sound it would make. That's what he heard. But he couldn't see what it struck. Well, he was concerned about the parishioners. He didn't want them to fall into the hole. And so he went into town to purchase some planks of wood so that he could put them across this hole and protect people from falling in. While he was in town, he met a man that he knew there, Mr. Wright. He was a local builder, and he told him why he was purchasing these planks. And they talked about it a little bit, and the vicar said, "Well, come see for yourself. You know, it's amazing. This hole was not there, and now it is." And the vicar really thought, well, it was just some sort of, you know, like a collapse up under the pathway that caused the hole. When we come back from this break, we will come back to the rest of the story. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and now for the rest of that story, which I did not make up. We're talking about Reverend Biles, and so there's this big hole that's developed, and it's the pathway just falls into the hole there. And as you see, this is a pathway that leads to the door of the church. So he went to town to get these planks. He met a man he knew there who was a builder. And he told him why he was buying the planks. The builder was curious about it. And the reverend said, well, come take a look for yourself. And he thought that maybe the ground had just collapsed under that, and it just, you know, it was just a cave-in. And when they arrived, now those who are watching our TV channel are seeing the picture of Reverend Biles with his cane pointing to a spot, and that is the center. He's pointing to the center of that hole, but the hole covered, it went outside that path that he's standing on. That is the path, that is the church, and that is the spot. Now, when they arrived for Mr. Wright, I think was his name, to take a look at this hole, and they had talked about whether maybe it was a cave-in, you know, and what to do about it. And so when they get there, the hole is not there. This is on the same afternoon. The hole is not there. The path looks just like it did before, undisturbed. The grass looks just like it did before, undisturbed. Basically, it looked just like people are seeing in this photograph. They sort of had a moment of awkward silence, and then the builder just excused himself and walked away and never mentioned it again. The Reverend always wondered about this. He always thought about it. He wondered, how could this be? And he knew he was not imagining things because his wife had seen it too. An odd story, no doubt about it. I didn't make it up. If the story's not true, Reverend Biles is the one who would be the fabricator, because that was in his article that he wrote and that was published. But why would I bring that story to us? You know, on this show we talk about all kinds of really strange and unexplained things, right? And one of the strange, unexplained things that we do get to talk about from time to time has to do with portals that open. I've never seen that happen, but there are people who say they have seen it, they have experienced it. We've had guests on who say they have been through a portal. I never have. I have seen what people call UFOs. I have seen that on at least three occasions. I have not seen a vortex. I have not seen a portal open, but there are people who say they have. And there are theories about that, that it's some people think it's a time portal. Some people think it's time-space. Some people think it's... How interesting. Some people think that it's another dimension. It's a mystery, isn't it? And I wonder if in... What else happened in 1947? Do you remember? Something that has turned out to be rather important and pivotal. A big UFO wave, not just in the United States, but in other countries we're finding out. The Roswell crash. I wonder if this event that the Reverend writes about happens to be something associated with that. Maybe it was a portal that opened and all those UFOs came through. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, since nobody's calling in yet, is it okay if I call back with another comment?
Yeah, Ryan.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead.
Calls, but it doesn't seem like anybody's calling. I'll make it quick.
No, everybody's scared.
About this, with this Peter Lindbergh thing. You know, maybe it's possible that that McDonald is with a totally different crew that Peter Lindbergh doesn't know about, that tried to go down there and get it.
Maybe. If there's a debate, it's between those two guys. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But what you say is a possibility. I just have no way of knowing that.
Did McDonald tell you, let you know when he might be able to get a hold of him again to get an update on it?
Yeah, we'll be in touch later this week, and we'll see. And I sent him a message telling him what Lindbergh had put on his Facebook, and so I know he's probably listening to the show tonight. I hope Peter Lindbergh is listening tonight. And, you know, as I said, perhaps Peter Lindbergh is a heck of a nice guy. I don't know that. Maybe he is. And maybe he just shot from the lip on this. But accusing me of making all this up, and saying that I did. He didn't say maybe I just made it up. He said I made it up and published that. That's slander.
Yeah, you didn't make it up. So this will be an interesting thing to track, to see what's going on with that. That's all.
Do you like music?
Get your fingers dialing and call it to the show.
Yeah. Do you like music, Ryan?
Pardon?
Do you like music?
Yeah.
Because if that phone doesn't start burning up, we're going to enjoy music.
It might be a misunderstanding or something. I don't know. Whatever that thing is, if it was a rocks, wouldn't there be other rocks around in the area?
No, not necessarily.
It just doesn't seem like rocks to me. But I'm not necessarily saying it's a UFO either.
Well, see, the
some sort of an ancient structure.
The Queen of Sheba's place, they didn't know it was there because all they could see was sand everywhere. They didn't see any rocks. But once they discovered that it was there, they started clearing sand away and found rocks. So, if this has been down there a long time, and if it was there a long time before it went underwater, then it could be a lot of stuff covered with sand.
Well, what was he talking about? The Russians, he was saying the Russians were dropping something coming from Area 51 or something?
It was a Russian report. And saying that it was American planes coming out of Area 51, or Site 51, is what they referred to it. And that they dropped stuff into the Baltic. Well, see, here's the thing. That may be true and not connected. It may be true and connected. But, it may be a true story that they did drop stuff, and that may have absolutely nothing to do with this anomaly.
Yeah, and also another thing I found curious is when he said that they received a satellite photograph from the Russians, and there was 152 ships there. I was thinking that could possibly be a way to scare them off, saying, look, we got 152 ships here.
Could be.
I don't know. It's a weird story. It's one of the weirdest. It was a good show, though.
You want to hang on through the break, or does that do it for you?
No, that'll do it for me, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John. I'm calling from Conroe. You know where that is.
Yeah, John.
Well, I just wanted to compliment you on the way that you had handled that heckler and say that it was pure class in the way that you had handled it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. But let me say this. Lindbergh, in the exploration and treasure hunting business, so far as I can tell, he's significant. He's not a nobody. And I have to think somebody gave him some bad information and he just shot from the lip. The only other possibility is he just wanted to slander. I don't think that's the case. He did slander me, but I don't think that was his intention. And so, he doesn't, I don't know, that just doesn't seem to fit with the rest of what he is, you know. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that.
Well, that, again, you know, pure class. The comment that I wanted to make was the anomaly on the images. You know, you got the arcuate shape to it, mm-hmm. but there's also another part that is different. Look at the right angles.
Yeah.
There are right angles in there.
So
those right angles are not something that just happens in nature. I mean, that's the whole thing behind what, you know, Richard Hoagland and others have also observed. Right angles just do not happen.
So what do you think, now, if I'm, I always get this wrong, but you're a geophysicist?
That's correct.
I'm not real sure what that is.
Looking at that image right now, look at those right angles and that cutout.
Yeah, I see that.
That is not an accident.
So what would you say? Would you say that this is more likely to be some crashed or submerged vehicle, or would you say it's more likely to be archaeology?
This is not something that nature would produce.
Okay.
Just randomly. Okay, and that's being nebulous and at the same time saying everything. Those right angles say so much that, you know, I can't deny that there's something anomalous there. Again, the arcuate nature of the outline mm-hmm. and the right angles, you put those two things together, there's something funny going on there.
Okay, well,
Something anomalous.
Well, I agree with that.
That's all I can say. I mean, I don't have the rest of the data, but...
Yeah, but would you say, looking at this, that my description of ancient fortresses could fit that, or is that a stretch? That sounds like a stretch.
I don't know why the notch would be there if it was a fortress.
Okay.
I mean, that's just me.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to compliment you on the way that you had handled, you know, someone who is kind of ugly to you, and give you kudos for that.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. Yeah, at the same time, I do appreciate that. At the same time, I think we have to give Peter Lindbergh benefit of the doubt. And I think we have to say perhaps he had bad information. I don't know. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
You know, my honest answer to any of this is really doesn't matter what I think it is. And the only thing that matters is what they find when they bring it up.
Do you think they're ever going to be able to bring it up?
Yeah, that's the question. You know, those notches and the circular patterns could indicate that if this is it's made of stone rather than an object, that it could be a sacrificial altar, where blood was let.
Well, I'll tell you, if that's what it is, it's gigantic as an altar because it's 60 feet from side to side. That's huge as an altar.
I know. But you look at how big some of the, and especially in South America, Central America, Mexico, how big some of the sacrificial pyramids are that they pull people's hearts out on.
Well, I can't argue with you there. One of those pyramids, by volume, is bigger than the Great Pyramid.
Exactly.
Not in height, but by volume of building material, it's bigger than the Great Pyramid.
Exactly.
And they used it just like you said.
I'm not trying to discredit the idea that it may be something anomalous, but yet at the same time, until they get it up or put some kind of a vacuum around it, suck the water out of it so they can see it, we won't really know.
Well, that'd be a heck of a vacuum because it's under 300 feet of Baltic Sea. So.
Yeah, exactly. But
yeah.
They have those airbags that they can fit on those things, you know, and create pressure in those. I don't know how large they have them, but they do have them.
Yeah. Well, see, even if it is something like what you're describing, that's still anomalous. And it's like John said, nature just doesn't produce the combination of shapes that we see there.
I agree.
Yeah, and I have to defer to him. He's the expert on that, not me. And
there's another thing too. We know that is in the seabed off of where the ancient Sumerian cultures started coming up, and we know that if we believe the tales of the Anunnaki, we don't know what they built or what they left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
just an idea. And like I said at the beginning, it doesn't really matter what I think. It's what they find out that matters.
Yeah. I agree with you. And it's kind of like Boyd Bushman said about John Hutchison. He said, data doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be accurate.
Exactly.
So we don't have to understand this. We just have to get the accurate data on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Uh-huh. Bye.
All right, bye. I have a flash message from Lou, L-E-W. I presume that's Lewis. And in the Philippines, but Lou in the Philippines wants to know about the picture on the website, and folks that are watching our TV channel are seeing the picture now. The picture about the show, he wants to know who that guy is holding up the lantern there. He wants to know if it's a friend of mine. Lou? No. I don't know who that is. That's a photograph. It's a stock photograph that I found and that we're just using because it conveys a sort of sense of mystery. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hey, Rick. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Can't let Mike outdo me. I had to call.
Well, that's right.
I keep hearing that everybody says this thing is like 300 feet. And I watched a show last week on Discovery, and they were using this newly developed ROV that was made from some type of special ceramic material. And it went to a new record depth of over 20,000 feet under mm-hmm. the ocean and collected samples.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't understand what the big problem is with 300 feet. That's pretty much no distance at all.
Well, then it comes down to whether you buy what Robert McDonald told us last night. If anomalous things are happening to submersibles, then it's not the depth. It's just that anomalous stuff happens. Now, if you don't buy that, if you buy
those things and it vanish.
If you buy what Peter Lindbergh said, he said there was no such missions, there were no submersibles. So if you buy that, then we have a whole different view. And I don't have any reason to believe either story or to disbelieve either story.
Yeah. I'm like Mike. I think the truly interesting thing will be when we find out what is actually going on.
What do you think it is?
One other observation. I'm not the best at geography in the world, but last year all that portal supposedly opened in the Gulf of Aden and all those ships were there. Is that in the same vicinity?
No. No, it is not. It's far away. Okay. But let me ask you this before you go.
Okay.
Just off the cuff, what do you think this thing is?
It's, I think Ryan hit it right on the head. It's not something nature has created. It's something that some civilization or someone else created or arranged, and it's going to be very interesting to find out what it is. I think last night's show is one of the best ones you've had in a long time.
All righty then. Even though somebody said I made it up?
You didn't make it up. You weren't twisting our arm telling to believe you.
All right, man.
You never do.
I do appreciate the call.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And if you are in Canada or the USA, please use that number. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Hey. There's a couple things I want to say.
All right.
Now, I've talked to Robert on the phone, and when he was just first got out there, and I heard his excitement and how it turned around his attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have no reason not to believe him. He was just too excited.
Yeah.
And two, you are rather gracious. For somebody to talk the way they do, and you still say, well, he may be a nice guy. Well, nice guys don't write nasty letters.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes all of us get overwhelmed. And,
I have talked to Robert, and, you know, I've heard his sincerity and all that. Mm-hmm. And this other guy I know nothing about. But if he claims to be from the first crew, I do remember Robert saying that the best he could say is that the first crew that discovered it were scared off.
Well, what he said...
I can't help but wonder if possibly, you know, just like everything else, as soon as somebody finds something, they put out those skeptics and people to downplay everything, mm-hmm. to muddy the waters up.
What he said last night, Leah, was not that they were scared off, but he said, I don't know, maybe they were.
Well, that's what I meant. He said maybe they were scared off. That's what mm-hmm. he heard. He didn't know. And he made that clear through everything, that he didn't say it was a UFO. All he could say is what he knew and what he felt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you never said anything either. It's all, like you said, when you don't know, everything's on the table, right?
That's right. When you don't know...
And that's the whole purpose of your show.
All speculation is valid.
And if this person bothered to listen to your show, he'd know that.
Yeah, you know, you don't know what kind of day he had before somebody gave him some bad information.
Well, that's no excuse.
Well, no, but still, I mean, we're all human. I'm not making excuses for him. I was slandered. But at the same time, we're all human. We all make missteps. And I'm not for executing somebody every time they make a misstep. I think a little mercy makes the world a better place.
Well, this is true. But, you know, if you have a bad day, it doesn't make it okay to go out and, you know, beat somebody up or go out and cuss your neighbor out for no reason. You know,
well, you're
that
right.
Doesn't make it okay. People need to, you know, learn how to behave. But there is another thing. Now, as far as going with the open mind and open with the possibilities, which is what I adore about your show and what I adore about the story he gave. It's
uh-huh.
fascinating. I had talked to Sheila after the show last night, and she had called in last night, and she asked a question, and I don't think he understood, because she had to explain to me again, because I took it wrong too. She suggested that the ship, it's the object or whatever it is, may be a scavenger ship as it is.
Oh yeah, I caught that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, when I stopped and thought about it, you know, if they're showing, you know, these mirages or whatever they are of these ghost ships mm-hmm. that are showing up, maybe it's kind of telling a history like a museum, showing all the ships and stuff that they have scavenged throughout the time they were there.
Well, you know, it could be. That's a very interesting thought, and I think would make a fantastic movie plot.
I think so too, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, by the time they let themselves know, right, come into our museum, we'll show you what we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll show you your true history.
I think it would be a great movie plot. And the movie should be done something on the order of the movie called The Abyss. Do you remember that?
I love that movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I thought of when he talked about his show, his boat, feeling like it was lifted up on something or just floating. He couldn't tell.
Yeah, I thought about it,
that's
too.
That's the first thing I thought of was The Abyss.
Uh-huh.
And if you're thinking about that, things down there, that could be kind of what it is.
Well, it could be. It could be. Well, you don't know. Maybe Sheila will sell that to somebody as a movie plot, movie idea, and make $1 million for that.
Well, she should. You know, she's a writer herself. I wish she would.
I didn't know she was a writer.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Well,
I hope you get her on there. I know she's shy, and some subjects are still a little tender for her, but she's got so many cool things to say. I wound up talking to her for about 3 hours.
I can't imagine you talking for 3 hours, Leah.
No, me neither, because I really hate the phone.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you for the call.
Well, thank you. And, you know, we're all behind you. And we know we're just kind of chuckling. It's like, people are so silly.
Yeah, but since it's published on Facebook, I have to set the record straight.
Well, yes, you do.
Yeah.
And we all know better, but it's true. You're right.
All right.
But good luck to you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. All right. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John from Arizona.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir.
I had a couple of thoughts. I don't want to discredit the scientist that was called in. I don't remember what science he was specialized in, but nature does come up with the right angles. Have you ever heard of Nan Madol?
As a matter of fact, I have, yeah.
And the logs that they cut out of the formation there, the hexagonal logs and the octagonal logs,
mm-hmm.
by heating the stone up and then cracking it and building islands out of it.
Yeah.
Sounds like right angles and exact angles to me, but, you know, I'm not a scientist, you know.
Well, I think what he was getting at, I understand what you're saying. I think what he was getting at is it's the combination that you have this circular pattern with right angles cut into it. And it's the combination of those that geology would not do.
Well, that could be a possibility, too, but I would be slow to say, I would rather say, to the best of my knowledge in the field of my study.
Now you're nitpicking, you know.
I know. It's just kind of the way I'm feeling tonight. Yeah. It's kind of like you said, what is that, that bird over in Asia, the FU bird?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I actually saw a video on that. I looked it up. It embarrassed the host on the talk show that had it on. It was
well, I didn't lie, did I?
You did not. And this, what was it, the bat with 6-foot wingspan? And
yep.
I listen to your show regularly.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, you know, there's you personally now know there is such a thing as a bat that has a 6-foot wingspan.
I do.
I'm going to tell you something else now that you know I didn't lie about that. So one day you will find out that this is true. If you eat them, if they're roasted and you eat them, they taste a little bit like rat.
Like rat? Not chicken, huh?
No, tastes like rat.
Well, I wouldn't know what rat tasted like. So.
Well, you have to find out what rat tastes like, and then you can check out my story about the bat.
The closest thing to a rodent I've ever eaten was javelina.
Yeah, well, javelina is pork. Isn't
it? What?
It's pork.
I thought it was related to the rodent family.
Oh, it may be. I don't know. I've eaten just about everything, including locusts. A locust, let me tell you, a locust tastes like slimy almonds.
Really? And yeah. that's just the legs, right?
No, that's the body. And you can chew everything. You can chew everything but the wings. The wings you cannot chew.
Okay, well, that's good to know if I ever have to survive somewhere.
Yeah.
Can you eat it raw?
I did. You need to bite fast, though, because he's buzzing like crazy.
Well, yeah, he probably wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
But the reason I ask is some things are edible cooked and not raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I ate it raw, and it tastes like slimy almonds. It has an almond flavor.
Well, there's some protein in there.
Yeah.
Hey, as far as that figure that he was asking about on your homepage there with the lantern.
Oh, yeah?
You can just tell him it's a modern-day Diogenes looking for an honest man.
Kind of looks like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, Diogenes out there with his walking stick looking for an honest man.
Yeah.
The walking stick was in case he didn't find an honest man.
Okay, John, I got to run. Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right, bye. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call, 623-444-5889. We're not actually discussing slimy almonds here tonight, but it did come up. We'll talk about what's on your mind. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
What's on your mind? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show.
Okay,
your first name.
What we need you to do is reach around there and turn the volume down because we can hear me. All right, you get the volume turned down, then we'll come back to the phone.
Already did.
All righty. First name
okay.
And...
I've talked to you before, but I can't give you my name because, I'll tell you the story. My dad was in the Marine Corps, and he was involved in Central America at some classified locations. Are you there?
No, I left.
Oh, okay. Anyway, about the geophysicist or whatever he was,
uh-huh.
Talking about the unnatural 90 degrees.
Uh-huh.
This one place we were at in South America was kind of real close to the water. Matter of fact, it was surrounded by water. And number one, they've got a bunch of canals, like little canals, about 3 foot wide. And they go up through the jungle, and they're perfectly carved out. They're not natural. And they make 90-degree turns here and there, over and over again. And I asked the Indians that live down there, you know, who built these? How long have they been here? And everybody said that they've been there forever.
All right, you want to hang on through the break? Hang on through this break, and we'll be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. We have more coming up.
From the United Kingdom, and you are listening to the fantastic Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is Open Line Live tonight. We have a caller on hold. I hope he's still with us. He's not. He left us. Okay. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And we have some flash messages we've got to get to as well. So let's go back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's me again, Kevin. I guess I got hung up on or whatever.
Okay.
Okay. How much did I get through last time? Do you remember?
There's some canals, and they make 90-degree turns, and the natives say...
Okay, you're cutting out real bad on my telephone. I grew up as a marine.
Okay, we know that. Okay, you told us about the canals that make 90-degree turns.
Yeah, and also in the same area, there's reefs that go out of the ocean. You can walk out there for as much as a mile in some cases, and only be in like 2 or 3 feet of water. And then it drops off to nothing. And we used to go scuba diving out there. And you should see all the square coral blocks that are out there. I mean, just tons of them. And we're not talking one 90-degree angle. We're talking multiples. I mean, it looked like giant wooden blocks out there underneath the water, but it was all coral. I just thought you might be interested to know that.
Well,
this was in Central America.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, I don't dispute that at all. But what he was saying is it's the combination of having a circular object and then having right-angle cuts in it, that nature would not do both of those at the same place.
I understand. Okay. Yeah. I'd share that with you.
Yeah. Fascinating. I appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, from Art in the Philippines. A personal email to you is not slander. Now, what you are doing, making his personal email public and accusing him of slander, is slander. Stop. Not so. I didn't make his personal email to me public. What I read is what he published on his Facebook page, which is pretty doggone public. That's what he put on his Facebook page. It's not slander, and I won't stop telling the truth. Art? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hey, Brent.
They just don't learn sometimes, do they? Email is one thing. Facebook, MySpace, that's totally different.
Look, it is different. What was done was done. What was said about me is slander. It was said on Facebook. But, as I said, you don't know what kind of bad information somebody gave him or what kind of bad day he had. I'm willing to cut the guy some slack here. Now, the only thing that I quoted out of his email is what is also on his Facebook. So let me make that clear. The only thing I've published or that I've made public here tonight is what's on his Facebook. The phrases that I read out of his email, those are in his Facebook posting. Okay, so that's public. But look, did you ever say something you didn't mean to say?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I know humans. I know human nature. I know what we're like. So what if he gets up, he's not having a particularly great day anyway. It may not be a bad day, but it's not a particularly wonderful day. And somebody says, man, did you hear what was on the radio last night? That Kevin Smith did this, he did that. He said this, he said that. Okay, he didn't hear it, but this is coming from somebody that's a friend of his and he trusts, so he believes it's true. That's how this kind of thing happens. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It would be a lot better if he would just do one thing. Instead of sending me an email and making accusations, say, this is what was said to me. I want to know if this is what you said, if this is what you did. I'll answer that. Not a problem. Not a problem.
Yeah. And yeah, I understand that.
Look, you know, I appreciate very much everybody's comments. I appreciate the comment from the Philippines here. But the facts are that the only thing I revealed here is what's also on his Facebook. And I read his Facebook, his posting that's on Facebook. That's public. And I read it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why I said that there's a big difference between email and Facebook.
Well, there is, indeed. And, you know, you look at this guy and everything you can find out about him on the Internet, there's nothing that indicates this guy's... Well, he doesn't... Nothing about him says he's malicious.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm trying to approach it based on the idea that there's not malicious intent.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I have a question off topic for you.
Okay.
Have you heard anything about that pyramid in Mexico they were going to go into?
No. Have you?
No, I haven't. I was just wondering, because you said if they found something, it was very likely they would either lie about it or we wouldn't hear anything. So we just haven't heard anything.
I don't know what, you know, that's another one of those deals, Brent, where when we're not given data or when it's not available for us to get it, then all we can do is speculate, and in a case like that, then all speculation is as valid as any other speculation. And, you know, I'll tell you something. There are a lot of things going on in this world we're not getting the data on.
Mm-hmm. I know.
All right, man.
I wish we could, but sometimes it's just too much information. We just don't have the right sources. But if you have the right sources and they don't give you the information, then you just kind of wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I appreciate the call.
Yep. You take care.
Thanks. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Christina from Milwaukee.
Hello, Christina.
How are you?
Good. What's on your mind this evening?
A few months ago, you had a guy on there, Jeffrey Gonzalez, I think, and he was talking about some possible DNA evidence from Bigfoot. Whatever happened to that story?
You know, I don't know what happened to that story. I talked with him. They had their press conference. They presented their evidence at the press conference. And I talked with him after the press conference, and he was telling me, just for a few minutes I talked with him, and he told me the press conference went fine. And that's the last I've heard from it.
Okay. I was interested to know what happened.
Yeah, you're talking about Jeffrey Gonzalez. He's from up around, I think, Fresno, right?
I'm not sure where.
Yeah.
I just remember the name and that whole story sounded pretty interesting.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'm making a note here because I think you've done me a great service. You've reminded me of something I need to check on. That's a story I need to check up on and see where we are with that. I appreciate it.
That would be great.
All right. Thanks much.
Thank you, Kevin. Good night.
Good night. All righty then, let's go to another flash message. The telephone lines are open. And this one says, this is Ross in the United Kingdom. Perhaps, hi Kevin, maybe Mr. Lindbergh had his Facebook account hacked, or maybe it's one of the black ops guys trying to cause trouble. Yeah, that's a possibility, except he sent me an email too that said basically what's on his Facebook account. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
I have two questions.
Okay.
I believe that the photographs look like some kind of a rock formation, but with what the captain said yesterday, I'm curious if why a rock formation would melt a rock formation, and the other one is... it doesn't make sense that a rock formation would move 200 feet or 150 feet, which is like 20 yards on a football yard. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Well, you know, again, does it look like a rock formation? Well, to me, it does look like that. Now, you have to understand, when I say that it looks like, I really mean it looks like. I'm not saying that I'm identifying it as that. If you ask me, what does the shape look like? I would have to say the shape looks like the Millennium Falcon, just like Robert McDonnell said. But that's not, I'm not identifying it as the Millennium Falcon. And when I say it looks like a rock formation, I'm telling you what it appears to me, how it appears to me. But that doesn't mean that I'm identifying it as being a rock formation. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Jeff from Montreal, Kevin. Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Good. I was a little bit taken aback at the beginning of the show by this news from the Swedish gentleman, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
A little distressed to hear his response to your show. You know, when I was asking the captain last night about funding, he was reluctant to give me any clear answer on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that an organization like this would be trying to garner as much public attention and money to pull off something as expensive as recovering, if they can recover something. I don't know how they would recover a stone, you know, a formation of rock, if that's what it is. If it is an object, you know, this assertion that two submersibles were melted, or one submersible was melted and one was lost completely. Who made that assertion? Was that the people to the Captain McDonald or on the
yes.
ship?
Yeah, that's what they told him. But let's think about this for just a minute. Let's say that story is absolutely true. Okay? Let's just assume that it's true and that we could verify somehow that it's true. Then whoever is behind this with funding is somebody with some huge pockets. Think about this. With this operation, think of the funding it would take to have 10 ships involved, to lose two multi-million-dollar submersibles, and to be ready to lose another one. Hang on a minute. We got a break. We'll be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, do not go away. To the Kevin Smith Show, and we are on Final Approach, ladies and gentlemen. That means we only have a few minutes left, and we have Jeff from Montreal on the line with us. Jeff, what I was saying is, think about this, man. You got 10 ships and crews and provisions. You got two submersibles, which what we heard is they're multi-million-dollar submersibles, lost, one destroyed. And they're ready to go again. Somebody has got to have some big, deep pockets here.
Yeah, and some investors along for the ride as well, some hopeful investors. What these people usually do is what? They look for booty at the bottom of the ocean in shipwrecks, correct?
Yeah.
That's their normal job.
Yeah.
Much like pirates in the old days.
Yeah.
I find it kind of ironic. I thought that image, by the way, on the show tonight was a picture of Peter looking for the anomaly. But
oh yeah, I did have. Oh,
yeah. What you always have to, when you look at these operations, you always have to look at the where the money's coming from, and if they're not transparent, it raises flags for me. And if it is someone with deep pockets that's funding this who wishes to remain anonymous, we have apparently a NASA astronaut on one of these ships, a bunch of psychics, maybe some remote viewers. That sounds really spooky to me, if you know what I mean when I use the word spooky. And so if you have a private billionaire who is trying to raise this thing from the deep, with deep pockets in international waters, there might be some conflict of interest between what a couple of entrepreneurs are doing, such as Captain McDonald and our Swedish friend Peter Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
So one might want to look into where the funding is coming from, who is behind this operation, and then you might find that the person that may raise this or salvage this anomaly or object would not want to make it public.
Mm-hmm.
He or she would be perfectly within their right, apparently, I think, under international law. So no one can lay claim to that object right now until someone actually puts it on their deck, if I'm not mistaken.
He said that. Until they actually raise it and put it on deck, nobody can lay claim to it.
No. Mm-hmm. And if the military's showing an interest in this, and again, think of some of the things that Captain McDonald said last night, Kevin, for instance, and I realize we're getting close to the runway here. He said that they were getting satellite imagery from Russian sources. So whoever is feeding them this intel or these photos certainly raises flags again. It's as I said to you on Facebook, it's a fascinating story, and I don't think it's a story. I think it's very much real, but what it is what exactly and who this operation really is suspect to me, especially when you don't want to disclose that. I would think that the captain would want to tell as many people in the world, and I think you were attempting to do that to get his story out, get national attention, to prevent anything negative happening to him or the crew or anybody out there. But if you don't want to tell us who's on board and you don't want to tell us who's funding it and really don't want to give any sort of closer scrutiny or allow us any closer scrutiny, don't expect the public to open up their wallets and support what you're doing, if that's what you're looking for.
Well, I see where you're coming from with it. I don't know why they made a choice to not disclose who their funding is. But, I mean, you know, if it's a private operation and whoever's involved doesn't want to be disclosed, you know, if that's who's giving you the money and they don't want to be disclosed, you got to not disclose them.
So, therefore, when they do bring it up on their deck then, and the public clamors for disclosure about what this object is, the person that salvages this can say to the public, too bad, I'm sorry, too bad military, too bad population. This is not for public display or disclosure. It's for our own use and for our own benefit.
Unless it is some type of ancient technology, or if it is, in fact, a UFO. If it's something like that, they can say too bad military. They're still going to lose it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking that the military almost seems to be working hand in glove with this group, almost, you know, in one way, keeping anybody out, such as us, John Q. Public, and letting this private organization do the dirty work, because it is in international waters, especially NATO. Well, it's in international waters. That's not NATO water at all.
No, it's international. Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, it's been a pleasure talking with you again, and I look forward to subsequent follow-up about these Swedish pirates.
Well, I look forward to it, and I'm not joking when I say that there is an open standing invitation to Peter Lindbergh if he wants to come on and give us what, from his perspective, is the straight scoop on this.
You have millions of listeners. It would be an opportune time for him to, and you know, if he's sincere and this is a really, you know, lay the facts on the table, I'm sure he'd get a lot of funding very quickly.
Well, he might, and a lot of very interesting people listen to this show. We are close to the runway here. I'm going to have to run. I thank you for the call, Jeff.
Put your gear down, Kevin.
All right. Thanks. I am sincere when I say that regardless of what was said, regardless of what was done, I don't see any indications in anything about Peter Lindbergh that I was able to find. I don't see any indications that this is a malicious man and that there was malicious intent. I think he probably got some bad information. I think he probably shot from the lip. And, you know, I hope that that's the case. And perhaps he will be willing to come on the show. If so, all he needs to do is contact me and tell me that he's willing to come on the show, and he'll be more than welcome here. And that's a guarantee. Because I want to know, see, I don't care about whatever dispute between this one and that one, and I want to know what is this thing? I want to know as much as we can know about what is it. And the data doesn't have to make sense. The data just has to be accurate. And that's all we're after. That's all we'd like to hear. We want to hear the truth from anybody. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Okay, Steve, we'll have to make it real quick.
Oh, it is. I've noticed every time you show an extreme close-up of that object and we see the horizontal and vertical lines that intersect, I'm looking at what appears to be either a number four or perhaps the remnants of an old swastika. And given that it's in the Baltic Sea off the coast of Poland, Russia, northern Germany, I have to wonder if maybe that might not be what's left of the old Nazi Bell project. Just a thought, Kevin.
It might
be. And I'll let you comment.
All right, thanks. It might be. I don't know. You know, when it comes to these things, you hear me say I don't know a lot. I don't believe or disbelieve when it comes to these sort of things. I either know or I don't know. And so it's not negative if I say I have no reason to believe or no reason to disbelieve. It's not a negative statement. Not at all. Because I either know or I don't know. And if I don't know, I'll tell you. And I'm saying, well, we need more investigation. All right. That's going to just about do it for this evening. My invitation still stands. It is sincere. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.